Hello.
Hello, Jan. You're ready to go. God bless you.
I am. God bless you. And thank you so much, Bob and Janie, for the opportunity and the privilege it is to share God's word. And I want to say hi to all my brothers and sisters out there in telephone land. What a privilege it has been for us to be able to fellowship with everyone together. And, you know, as Bob mentioned, about this time 2,000 years ago, when it was the actual Passover week, what was taking place in the life of Jesus Christ this time would have been about the time sometime after he had been raised from the dead. So for tonight, I'd like to look at another characteristic of our wonderful Lord and Savior, and that is the reference to him as being the last Adam. We can see this reference made in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." So what does it mean for him to be the last Adam? The word for last means to be extreme or the last in time or place. Strong says it could also be translated the latter Adam, that is, the Messiah. To understand some of the greatness of what it means to be the last Adam, we should probably take a look at the first Adam, the one who was first in time or place. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 read, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created." And this is also referenced in Genesis chapter 1, where he created man in his likeness and in his image. It's interesting to note that God did not call them Adam and Eve. It was after the fall that Adam gave his wife the name Eve, which means the mother of all living, even though they had already experienced spiritual death. God placed this brilliant man, Adam, in the beautiful garden that he had planted eastward in Eden. Sometimes I think we are tempted to consider Adam as a Dr. Doofenshmirtz, or at least a clueless one, because of the treason that he eventually committed. But we must never forget that he was originally God's ruler here upon earth. And as such, he was pretty amazing. He named the animals, and he tended God's garden, and walked and talked with God, and God loved him. Considering Adam's occupation as tending the garden, I suppose we could call him a gardener. Unfortunately, though, Adam did not keep his place of rulership and dominion that God had given him. Rather, he transferred it all to God's enemy, who offered him an opportunity to be as God, even though he was already made in the image and likeness of God. How ironic is that? At this point, sin entered the world and Adam died spiritually. The spiritual death would be passed on to all of his progeny without exception. Look at Romans 5, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We all inherited that sin nature from Adam. God, who is never surprised by anything, promised in Genesis 3:15 that he would send a redeemer that would crush the head of the enemy, breaking his lordship over man, as Jan taught so wonderfully last night. In verse 19, God made another decree for Adam and his progeny. In Genesis 3:19, it says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now, man would be responsible to work in order to produce his food, which had been supplied abundantly for him until this time. Adam was banished from Eden, and for the rest of his life, there is no record of him walking with God or doing the works of God. So now, let's fast forward about 4,000 years. And there's now another man on the scene who was not born of the seed of Adam. Rather, as the result of seed that God created in the womb of a woman named Mary, he was conceived and she brought him forth. This was the man that God had promised in Genesis 3:15. Yes, it had been a long time, but God had not forgotten. This man, Jesus Christ, lived to do the works of his father. Like the first Adam before his fall, he walked and talked with God. In John 8:29, we read, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Then the time came for him to offer his life in obedience to the Father. This one act would pay in full for the sin that the first Adam had committed. The record of his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane is recorded in Luke. Ron read this section with us a couple of nights ago, and I want to just go a little further into that record. Turn to Luke 22. We'll start in verse 39. "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Here, I believe, is recorded the first drops of redeeming blood that was shed for us. The word sweat occurs only three times in God's Word. The first time in Genesis 3:19, which we read, the second in Ezekiel 44:18, where God states that the clothes of the priests were to be such that they did not produce sweat, as he did not accept the works of man. And the third place is in this record in John. Could it be that the Lord's agony involved in making the decision to do God's will rather than his own redeemed us from that curse that had been pronounced on Adam in Genesis? I don't know, but it's food for thought. Now, this process of his sweating blood is called hematidrosis, and it's an extremely rare condition in which a person appears to sweat blood. Although there's no clear scientific evidence concerning this condition, it has been reported to exist for several centuries. The condition has been most commonly reported during extreme bouts of fear or anxiety. Such as is often experienced when a person is facing death. A small net-like structure of tiny blood vessels known as capillaries surrounding the sweat glands. It is possible for these blood vessels to rupture when a person is faced with extremely stressful situation causing blood to exit the body through the sweat glands. We know that the Lord made the decision to do the Father's will and was eventually arrested, tried, and crucified. He died not for any sin that he committed or any wrong he had done. Rather, he did it in place of each person who had inherited the sin nature from the first Adam. His death in our place represented the ultimate act of obedience in stark contrast to the first Adam's act of high treason. Exactly 72 hours after the Lord was laid in the tomb, he was raised from the dead by the power of God. Oh, wouldn't you have loved to be there? I sure would have loved to be there to see that amazing display of God's power and glory. We know that when he was raised from the dead, he passed right through the grave clothes that Nicodemus had wrapped him in with the pounds and pounds of spices and ointment. And if you want more details on that, check out Jesus Christ, Our Passover. There's a chapter called The 18th of Nisan, and it gives more detail. Now, the first person to see Jesus, Bob already mentioned this, but the first person to see him after he was raised from the dead was Mary Magdalene, and it was early in the morning. John chapter 20, verse 12. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting. And I might note that the resurrection is the first record of angels actually sitting. They usually are standing or in a stance for combat or war. But here the angels were sitting. The one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Mary supposed him to be the gardener. Why the gardener? Why not a passerby or a guard or a mourner? Why the gardener? There must have been something about the form in which he appeared that gave her the impression that he was the gardener. This is the only occurrence of the word gardener in the Bible in the King James Version. We know that God does not use words haphazardly. Though we have no record of what the Lord did in the hours between when he was raised from the dead and when he appeared to Mary Magdalene, there was something that he did that caused him to have the appearance of a gardener. He had completely fulfilled the work God had prepared for him on the earth, and we know that the first Adam's work began in the garden. So it appears that we have come full circle. So I want you to make a mental chart and think about this. With the first Adam, before his sin, he was a gardener. Then he committed sin which caused death. And God decreed that it would be with the sweat of his face that he would have to work to produce for himself. And for the remainder of his life, and he lived 930 years, he did the works of man and passed on the sin nature. But in reverse of that, the last Adam did the works of his father, and he sweat blood in the garden in an agony, but made the decision to give his life. And he became sin and suffered death. And after his resurrection, he appeared to Mary to be a gardener. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. He completely reversed for mankind all of the damage that Adam had done and restored man to his original place that God had ordained. Now, any man who believes on him will receive all the benefits of his finished work and have the power of Holy Spirit alive within, Christ within. The story of our redemption is beyond fascinating because it is real. These were two very real men whose very real lives affected us all. Yet the life of the last Adam far surpasses the effects of the life of the first Adam when we rest in his finished work. We are all people most blessed. So let's celebrate his resurrection. God bless you.